And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger and Jay. It's Danger and Jay.
All your Danger and Jay horse, not the athletic, are here working for you. Wednesday afternoon, the tornadoes have passed through and the sun is peeking out. Sign of another bright day here in Bengals world. And that is the day that today, Jay, you and I, we spoke with La'el Collins, Zach Taylor, and the introduction finally happened. And they're all here. So we decided, you know what, this is the perfect opportunity for us to bring a special episode to everybody because we got some goodies for you.
Yeah, because this is what, I guess, not really a question, but this is what you wanted to hear from him. We've people listening to this, the scouts, the coaches, you and I, we've all seen La'el Collins play football, but you're really interested to see what his demeanor was going to be like, what he was going to, how he's going to present himself on Zoom. And I thought he came across great. I wondered a little bit. Dallas is kind of one of those media markets where you maybe have to be on guard a little bit. It's such a big media contingency and it's so competitive and you have to kind of watch what you say. And he was open and had fun with it, was joking around at times. He just came across really good. And you're right that the sun is out metaphorically and literally for the Bengals.
So we've got a special episode for you today. And La'el Collins, Dan Hoard, probably he followed through what he said he was going to do, and that was get the exact proper pronunciation from the man himself. And he said it is La'el Collins, but you can call him L, you can call him LC. He likes the bodyguard. And so let the bodyguard soundtrack memes happen now, right? Is that going to, are we going to get like hit Collins face over top of Kevin Costner or something like that? I'm not sure where that goes from there. I trust all of you people on the internet will do your best as you have been doing so well with this type of stuff. So we wanted to bring you some of that conversation and some other things that Zach Taylor said, and also have a special drop in for you. I had a conversation with Bengals director of pro scouting, Steven Radicevic. And we talked for about 20 minutes, and he was kind of the tip of the spear with leading their entire free agency philosophy here, along with Duke Tobin, and plotting out what the last 2 weeks have been, going through, you know, what was a complicated process to try to revamp this offensive line and keep a lot of the run it back momentum going. And so we talk a little bit about that, about some of their philosophies, some of the ways that things unfolded, some of the surprises on the market, and some of the things that fell just right for them. Good conversation with him. Going to bring you all of that here in today's episode. I think you will like it. But we're going to start with Collins, you know, the big fish that we heard from for the first time today. And I'll bring you, I kind of plucked, he was on for about 20 minutes with us. I plucked it down to about 10, some of the best stuff about a lot of him talking about his recruitment and the big weekend of hanging out at Joe Burrow's house and everything that came along with that, and Frank Pollock and what he liked about Cincinnati and his time at the mall and all this other stuff. So we're going to bring you some, let's bring you some of that right now, and we'll have a few comments on some of the things that he said. So here is Bengals' newest right tackle and free agent addition, La'el Collins.
La'el, how big of a factor was Frank Pollock in not only you signing, but the visit itself, coming to Cincinnati and entertaining the idea of joining the Bengals?
For me, it was a no-brainer. Just opportunity presented itself to get back and work with Coach Frank. I've been missing him since he left. And I mean, he's a great coach. Just very detailed in everything that he asked for as a pro. You know, I know type of coach, I know type of things he's looking for in his players. And, you know, I just look forward to going there and really contributing in a big way and just doing my job and just helping some of these young guys, you know, continue to develop and grow as pros.
And then what's a Friday like at Joe Burrow's house?
Man, it's really just chill, man. You know, just chill talking football with the guys, and just being able to really like, just kind of get a sense of like, you know, what this locker room is like, starting with him. You know, I mean, obviously he's the leader of the team, quarterback, and, you know, just, you know, obviously him playing down at LSU, is something special to me as well. So, you know, it's big just to be able to kind of, you know, spend some time with him and have some camaraderie.
Dan Hoard.
LC, I have two questions for you. Number one, I'd like to know the proper pronunciation of your first name. And secondly, all things being equal, when you became a free agent, was Cincinnati your first choice?
All right, so you said my first name is La'el, but everybody just calls me L, so just call me L or LC, doesn't matter. I've been hearing some new names like the Bodyguard. I kind of like that one too. So, but yeah, you know, from the jump, you know, just like I said the other day, you know, I felt like Cincinnati was a perfect fit for me. Obviously, just the history there, me and Coach Frank, and obviously just. When you look at that roster, you look the way this team is built, you know, I feel like, you know, we got the best chance to win and win right now. You know, it's gonna come down to the 11 guys on the field, offense, defense, and special teams at all times. So we're just gonna have to stick together, work and let everything, you know, show for itself. But, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to get to work with these guys. Joe Mixon. What a hell of a player, what a hell of a running back. He's definitely one of the guys that also made this decision for me, you know, pretty easy. Just talking to him, you know, and having a relationship with him already is great. Anytime you have a relationship with the running back, you know what type of runner he is. And, you know, he's just ready to cut that thing back to the right. So, you know, I'm excited.
Hey, Lo, first off, what did y'all have for dinner at Joe's house? What did the course menu look like?
Well, we had already ate dinner before we got over there. So Joe had some crackers and I think he had like some cupcakes, you know. It was, you know, but I'm sure, you know, if you wanted anything special, you could have made it happen. But no, it was just very just like, you know, felt like I was at, you know, my little brother's house, you know, when I walked in, you know, nobody was all uptight. Everybody was just cool. Just like the locker room. And, you know, for me, that was special. It was authentic. It was real and it was pure.
What's it like knowing that, you know, you're going to have to go out and protect this guy. That's going to be your job moving, you know, coming here. What's it like for him to kind of have y'all over kind of as a kickback after dinner, as before you even get here? What kind of impression does that make on you as you're trying to figure out what to do during the process?
Man, you know, for me, that was everything in the world. You know I was scheduled to go eat dinner with Coach Frank and Coach Taylor, but I just kind of told him, you know, I wasn't really there to be wine to dine. You know, I wanted to, you know, just kind of get this thing done. And, you know, I was able to go spend time with those guys, Joe and the rest of the guys. And, you know, for me, that really put it over the top. That really stamped it. That really showed me, you know, this is where I want to be. You know, these guys I want to be around. And, you know, that moment was probably the biggest moment.
LC, welcome to town. I wanted to ask you, what were the roller coaster of emotions like over the course of the weekend? I mean, it probably drug on longer, I imagine, than you thought it was going to. What was it like for you trying to, you know, see stay, go, what's happening? Was it easy for you to handle that or was it stressful?
I mean, you know, it was obviously, you know, anytime you're playing a waiting game, just trying to letting the guys that do the contracts, you know, they have to take their time to do their job and everything like that. So, you know, you got to give them time. So during that time, I just spent a lot of time just seeing the city, just going, you know, by the river. I met some cool people that liked the fish, which was cool. They were showing me all the big fish they caught out of the river and stuff like that. So you might catch me down there on a Monday or Tuesday with my fishing pole in the water. So, you know, I spent some time doing that, just getting to know the people, man. They was just great people. You know, they embraced me. So for me, I was letting everything else, you know, control itself while I just, you know, just kind of take my mind off things. And it was very great.
What was it like for you when you're going through the mall and people are approaching you to take pictures and all of a sudden everybody knows you're at the mall? Did you catch wind of how that kind of became a thing?
Absolutely. You know, for me, it was just, you know, it was special because, you know, I was in the mall, had my mask on, and I thought, you know, hey, I was going to be able to just kind of just go in different stores and just, you know, chill, I'd get a bite to eat, things like that. But they still saw the big fella. And and I was just like, hey, you know, asked me, were we close yet or were we done? And I was just kind of like, hey, we're getting there. You know, the whole time I was very optimistic that we was going to get it done. So, you know, I was just really just trying to get a feel for my new home. I was very optimistic that we was going to get it done. So, and we did. And you know, I couldn't be more happier.
Hey there, Lael. So you got a chance to hang out with them in person, which is cool, right? That's a good thing. But how important was it for you to come to a place that you knew without a shadow of a doubt that you had a chance to win a championship?
You know, that's very important. You know, for me at this point in my career, man, you know, it's not about the money. It's about winning. You know, I want to win. And when I walked in that building, I knew it was all about ball. You know, and it's not about nothing else but ball. And that's what I want to be around. Those type of guys I want to be around. You know, anytime you got your running back, just, you know, as meaningful as Joe Burrow. I mean, that guy, you know, he wanted to make sure I didn't leave town. And, you know, and you got a quarterback that's just as committed. And then you got other guys that love ball, you know, defensive guys hitting you up. I mean, that was different, completely different experience. And, you know, I'm just excited to know that, you know, those guys know what type of player I am and, you know, what I'm going to bring to this team. So I'm just looking forward to really just, you know, giving the Bengals and Mr. Brown and everybody the return on their investment in a big way. So, you know, the only goal is to win championships. And I say that with an S, you know, with a strong S, because, you know, I want to win championships with this team. So this is definitely the team to do it.
Hey, LC, welcome to town, even though you're not here now, but you made it clear how happy you are with what's transpired the last few days. But I'm wondering, is there any kind of chip on the shoulder that comes with being cut by your former team? And two, are you aware that the Cowboys are on the Bengals schedule this season?
I didn't know that. I did not know that, but I'm excited even more now, you know. But, you know, man, Dallas, man, that's been my home for the last 7 years, man. That organization has been special to me, been great to me. You know, it's no animosity or nothing like that, man. Nothing but love. You know, I'll be a Cowboy for the rest of my life. You know, I gave them a lot. You know, I gave them a lot. So for me, you know, it's all anything that's not orange and them where that don't have those stripes on them. You know, when it comes game day, then at the end of the day, if you're in the way, you got to get moved out the way. So that's just the bottom line. And doesn't matter who it is, don't matter where we at, don't matter what time we play. That's the mindset each and every week for me.
Thank you.
Hey, Al, I know you were mentioning that you talked with Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon and even heard from some of the defensive guys before you signed. Just, I'm curious, how many guys ended up reaching out to you, and just what did that say about the fact that so many players on this roster wanted you to be a part of this?
It was probably at least 10 of the guys reached out to me. And to me, you know, that was special. You know, that was special anytime, you know, guys want you to be a part of the team that they have. And, you know, I just felt like it was just definitely special, because it's nothing like it, you know, going somewhere where guys, they want you to be there. They want you to come in. They want you to, you know, be the type of player that they know you can be. And, you know, it's just special because all those guys are great players as well. So just having that feeling of, you know, these guys want me to be a part of this, but not just telling me this, but showing me this in a big way is special. And I couldn't be more thrilled and more excited to get to work with these guys.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, so there is LC, L, bodyguard, whatever we're going with. I like LC. I don't think I'm going to go with LCJ.
That's how I addressed him after he said that. I've said L. It doesn't roll off. It's so much easier to say L or LC. And I was kind of paying attention to who was addressing him in which manner. There were still a couple people that got his name wrong, even after he told us how to say it. But I think most people went LC, and that just fits better. I'm not calling him bodyguard. If you guys want to call him bodyguard, if you want to make the memes, I've already seen a few memes of Kevin Costner with LC's face holding Whitney Houston with Joe Burrow's face superimposed. It's very funny. I'm sure there's going to be more of those. But yeah, I'm going to stick with LC.
I love it. Takeaways, outside of the fact that Joe Burrow has crackers on hand like any good bachelor pad would.
and cupcakes.
And cupcakes. Let's not forget the cupcakes that were on. No, where do you think that – I want to know about the cupcakes. Joe Burrow's not making cupcakes, is he?
I wouldn't think so. Maybe his girlfriend
did. Somebody
do
a quick Kroger swoop for him to get the cupcakes? Crackers, were they just some that he pocketed on his way out of Ruby's, you know? I'm not sure. I'm kind of curious. I actually now want to know how he what his method of going crackers and cupcakes is. But that's a good – somebody had tweeted this, and it's so true. It reminds me of, like, all I envision is the bachelor pad apartment that I had when I was 24 with, like, a TV sitting on the ground and a single, like, folding chair in front of it. You know, we know that's not Burrow's setup, but that's certainly what it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what – that is what it sounded like, and that was not, as he said, not the point of it. The point of it was them just hanging out and talking football and getting to know each other, and kind of like college when you're establishing these relationships, and that the other stuff doesn't matter as much. It's about the conversations and building friendships, and it is. It's great to see. I Zach had mentioned that. LC had never met Joe Burrow. I was kind of struck by that. I would have thought with him being so close in Dallas that maybe he might have taken a bye week or a Thursday week and headed back to LSU and maybe met up with Joe during that magical run. But apparently that was not the case. And just the whole Frank thing too, even though he wasn't there for what you're talking about specifically, just the how much trust you're going to hear Steven talk about this, and the trust they put in Frank in his evaluation of LC's character, because there were the red flags, and he stood on the table for him and said, this is a guy that is all about what we want guys to be about. And the play speaks for itself, but the real questions there were who he was at his character. And Frank was saying no issues there whatsoever. Get that guy here.
Yeah. And then the way, you know, how do you trust that you're going to get the most out of somebody, you know, and it is their excitement about being back with somebody. Mm-hmm. The way Collins talked about Pollock and about how he's just, you know, the best coach he's had and he knows what he's going to get. I mean, that's what you want. That relationship is going to be what keeps everything on the straight and narrow. You never know. I mean, anything can happen to anybody. But you trust in your position coaches to know the guys in their room, to help steer them the right direction and get the most out of them. And I think the way you hear Collins talking about Pollock certainly – it puts it down even further that this was the right move specifically for the Bengals. They were the perfectly positioned team to make this, and that's why it was always the right fit from the beginning. And then, you know, I go back to what we were joking about the crackers and cupcakes. Yeah, but like when you talk about, so that was what put it away for him. It was authentic. Mm-hmm. It was genuine, and how much that mattered. Funny he used those words, because Hayden Hurst used those same words when talking about the Bengals coaching staff and about how he felt like didn't know who he could trust through a couple of, you know, through Baltimore and Atlanta. Hurst said that. And then, but he felt like when he talked to people here, everything felt so genuine, felt so authentic. It felt so much like they cared about you and the person and trying to get the most out of everybody. And I think that same thing comes across with Burrow, and it's become really a part of the fabric of the Bengals and their culture, is that authentic, genuine, all about ball, right? Like the first three things you tend to bring up with them. And for that to be what put it away for Collins, you know, the real stamp that made it happen, I thought was interesting and kind of fitting when you consider how much we've heard that really across a couple of off seasons now.
Yeah. And we saw that from this coaching staff from the get-go too, where as soon as Zach got hired, it was just you could tell even with a thin resume why the Bengals were so attracted to him, because there is that authenticity and just being so genuine and on top of that, smart and engaging and all those kind of things. But it's like college in some regard, where you're looking for the fit, for feeling at home. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying, where that college feel with the crackers and cupcakes, it just felt comfortable and homey and right for LC. And it made so much sense on the surface, but you never know which way these things are going to go. And I heard a lot of similarities in him that I do in Burrow, where they've got this incredible confidence in themselves without coming off as cocky and off-putting. Just, I know I'm the shit and I'm about to show you, that kind of thing. He said it over and over again, where he thinks he's the best right tackle in the league. And if you're against me, it's going to be a long day. And just those kind of that kind of attitude, I think, is something that, you know, it starts with Burrow and it goes throughout the rest of that locker room. But Collins is bringing that in himself. It's not something that's going to be rubbing off of Joe onto him. It's already in place. And that just makes it such a perfect puzzle piece of a fit.
I have some quick advice just for LC here. don't eat the fish that you catch out of the Ohio River.
Yeah.
Don't eat those fish. I mean, I wouldn't even fish there. And I appreciate like talking to the people that are down there fishing. What do I know about this other than don't eat the fish? Don't eat. There's plenty of very nice places in town to get some seafood that they bring in fresh, fly it in. Don't eat the fish out of it. Next thing you know, because here's what happens. Next thing you know, you're fishing the High River. What comes out? Body. Body comes out. And now you got to go, and you're a witness, and you pulled this body out of the river, or like maybe a shirt of someone, you know. That's all I'm saying. The same way I tell people that boat on the Ohio River, don't jump in the river,
don't swim there,
don't jump in the river. You don't need to do that. That's just my advice. My only advice I have. All right, let's move it on. I do want to bring you a little bit of something that Zach Taylor had to say to us today, and that is, it was kind of fun just.
talking with him about the process of going through this too. And there's a few bits and pieces that I liked of him talking about, you know, sort of watching it from afar. And he had gone off to NCAA tournament, and he's sort of like on his phone during that, trying to figure out what's going on. And then he had some good comments about Joe Burrow, the recruiter, which I thought were great. So here's Zach Taylor.
Hey, Coach. I'm curious what this weekend was like for you. I know Bengals fans felt like they were on a roller coaster. What was it like, kind of hoping it would get done and going through as it drug on? And was there something that stood out for you as outside of the end as a moment that is particularly memorable for you?
Well, just it's constant interaction, you know, as you go through the negotiating process. And obviously you want to add a guy to the mix. You want everything to be right on his end as well. You know, it's, I went to March Madness Saturday and, where was it? Indianapolis, you know? And so, I probably wasn't as attentive to the game as I either would have been, you know, as I'm taking phone calls and text messages and all that. But at the end of the day, it all came together and we're all happy about it.
James Rapine.
Coach, how big of a factor was Joe Burrow, and how involved was he in the process, not just with Collins, but Hayden Hurst and the rest of the free agents that you added?
He's been great. You know, Joe's message to me really has been, what can I do to help during the process? And so, again, we utilize him in every way we can, because that's obviously a big selling point for us, is we've got a quarterback that is a tremendous player and has helped us do a lot of things, and players like being around him. So Joe's done a great job coming to the dinners, you know, hosting some of the players. Those are kind of his ideas, to get the guys over to his place and help do what he can do on his end, bringing those guys close together so they can see kind of the relationships that the guys have on the team. And we certainly appreciate that. And he's just been all in on whatever he can do to help.
Were you surprised when he showed up and what it looked like, sweats to the dinner, like Daffy Duck shirt or whatever it was?
I stopped being surprised by anything that Joe wears, you know, in any occasion. So Joe's Joe, man, and he can pull off anything.
Zach, a couple of questions. I'll just start with this one, then I'll follow up on a second. How soon did you start having conversations after the Super Bowl about, we have to find a way to get better, specifically on the offensive line?
You know, within a week, really, because the combine that was coming up, and that was going to be more focused on the college players. And then 2 weeks after that, you were going to be signing the free agents. So there wasn't any time to waste. Obviously, our scouting department has done a tremendous job researching the guys and forming their opinions. You know, Duke and Steve Radicevic really lead that charge on the pro side of things, and then getting the opinions of the coaches as well. You know, and Frank's a big part of that, because we added three offensive linemen, and we did target that as an area where we needed to improve. And so Frank certainly did a lot of work there, evaluating a lot of these players and, you know, finding the right fits for what will help us going forward. And, you know, the same with Marion Hobby on the defensive line and Chuck with the corners and Lou, and we utilized everybody's opinions there. And so far it's worked out well for us.
And a quick follow-up, is your relationship with Burrow okay if he doesn't invite you over for dinner with the rest of the guys?
I'm past that stage of my life where I even want to go to dinner anymore. You know, it's I want to be in bed by 8 o'clock. So I'm sure that they stay up a lot later than I do.
Yeah. Hi, Zach. The three guys you signed, the three offensive linemen, are now your oldest and most experienced guys on that line, which on the surface could make it appear like that might stunt the development of the young guys. But how beneficial can it be for them to kind of have that template and that mentorship from guys and maybe kind of let them ease into developing into a bigger role?
Yeah, I think that's extremely valuable, you know, and that doesn't mean that those young guys aren't going to get their opportunities. And we all know over a 17-game season plus the playoffs, there's going to be moments you rely on the depth pieces that you get on the offensive line. Obviously, it's a point of emphasis in training camp with these three preseason games. You get a chance to continue to allow them to develop. And you just look at the three rookies we had with Jackson, Deontay, Trey. Those guys, you know, they're swimming a little bit when they get here in that first training camp. And so now they get a chance to get their feet underneath them. They know what to expect. They know what the NFL calendar looks like. They know what training camp feels like and how you utilize those three preseason games. And so, again, we really are going to get a chance to see them in our minds, take a big next step and be much more comfortable with what we're asking them to do. And that's an exciting piece of the puzzle there with our offensive line.
Yeah, I think Zach probably said it best, Jay. I think we're all done being surprised by what Joe Burrow wears, aren't we?
Well, I don't know about surprised. I mean, it's still surprising sometimes, but you're not surprised by the fact that he can pull it off. Some of the things he wears would make the rest of us look ridiculous, but when you've got that swagger and you've just got that fame and that talent, you can wear what you want. You see that sometimes in Hollywood too, where some of those people, some of these fashion shows, it's like normal people never wear that stuff. But if you've got it going on, you can put on whatever you want.
My kind of fashion show that has sweatpants and a Daffy Duck sweatshirt, though, by the way. I mean, that's the kind of fashion show I can get behind. That's what I'm talking about. So we have Joe Burrow. I think, but the bigger point is you can't ask for more. This guy is doing, he wants to do everything he can to help the football team. And that includes being front and center at every piece of the recruiting process, whether it's rolling down to the precinct or having everybody over to his house for some crackers or whatever it is. Like, you know, he's just all in, and it just continues to be just more of the same stuff from Burrow, lead recruiter, head quarterback, face of the franchise, future gazillionaire. He's just kind of got every title and embraces anything that makes him better. And he seemed as invested in this one as anything to this point.
Yeah, like where Zach said, or Colin said at one point that he was supposed to have dinner with Frank and Zach, and he said, "Nah, no thanks. I'm going to go hang out with the boys." I mean, he knows who Frank is, and that's part of it. But yes, it's just that's the sway that Burrow has, and I do love the idea of. I would assume Zach took his boys to that March Madness tournament. And there is a historic run happening with St. Peter's, and he has no idea what's going on because he's texting and calling and trying to figure out what's going on with LC. I assume those were the games that – because there was only two games in Indy on Saturday, and that was one of them. So, yeah, I'm sure the boys are probably like, "What are you doing on your phone?" Although he did say that his sons had friends over to the house who overheard some of his conversations and they got very excited about Collins coming. So they were able to go to the stadium and meet him when he came in. So it's just one of those situations where everything fell into place. It's what the Bengals were hoping would happen, that he would be available. It's what fans were hoping. He does become available, and they close the deal. And it's really kind of you will wait and see what happens this season. But as of right now, it just feels like a storybook offseason for this team because they got everything done. The only blip is losing CJ, but everything else they wanted to get done, they got done.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Who we're going to be having on next is starting to dive from the pro world over into that portion of the world too, where the rest of the Bengal scouts are already deep into. Pro days are upon us, albeit UC Pro Day on Thursday. Ohio State was going on today. They've been going on all week, and then everyone reconvenes and offers their opinions and goes forward with their draft plan, which is about to start. But first, let's look back. So we're going to talk about the process of getting Lael Collins, how that started, how they figured out from beginning to end, how do we approach this offensive line issue, you know, and the philosophy of so many of these guys in their 20s and how that has played itself out. And, you know, the way the world is working in the NFL right now, so much to touch on, so much has happened. This guy has had a very, very, very busy, not just 2 weeks, but all the way back to the Super Bowl, where he's adding people midway through the Super Bowl run and this, that, and the other. And I had to hurry, quick, turn around and get this free agency plan, get the coaches involved, everything else. We're going to talk about all that and more. Here is Bengals Director of Pro Scouting, Steven Radicevich.
All right, I want to kind of take this time. Now that free agency has winded down a little bit, we can connect with somebody who suddenly has at least a couple minutes of free time with something that hasn't exactly been around lately, and that's Bengals Director of Pro Scouting, Steven Radicevich. Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, it's been a wild run for all of you guys in the scouting department, but you know, for you in particular, kind of heading the pro side of things, having to go straight from all the work you were doing, bringing people in during the Super Bowl run, like team to playoff team over to your team and all the management you had to do there, and then boom, right into free agency and everything else. Where did it show up the most as you went through this process, the truncated nature of where you guys, with what you guys had to work with, is that that's the most challenging part of getting from Super Bowl to today, really?
What was the most difficult part of it?
Yeah.
Probably just the shortened time, obviously. I mean, it was, you know, our scouts had done most of the groundwork on their write-ups most of January leading up to the Super Bowl. So we had a good feel what this free agency group was going to look like, where the strengths were in the group. But really it was just trying to get with the coaches following the Super Bowl and try to give them a feel for what we thought, who the players we should approach as this thing started up. So really it was just trying to get the coaches up to speed on such a short time frame there.
Tell him, like, look, guys, I know it's been a long season and you need vacations, but we need to get you to come back here. We got to get you to look at these guys, right? Or calls, yeah. They're talking to you from the beach somewhere or something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think a lot of those guys took off, went to the beach, and a lot of those phone conversations while they're on the sand.
In terms of, you know, the big thing obviously you guys did in your approach was let's take a look at how to do this line thing. What are we going to do here? In terms of laying out the plan, can you kind of walk us through that process from beginning to Karis Kappa and now Collins? I mean, where that started and how all the pieces kind of came into form. These were the guys that you ended up focusing on and landing on.
Well, we knew our line was going to be a spot that we were going to have to hit in the offseason. So, you know, it really started last fall, and you're trying to get eyes on some of these guys that you know are going to be free agents, you know, whether it's a team we're playing here or away, you know, you're body typing them, just kind of seeing what their attitudes are like on the sideline, on the field. So it starts in the fall, but then really starts with the film work, and that'll get going December, January with our guys. So I'll we'll assign position groups to each scout. So for example, I gave Mike Potts the offensive line because I knew that was going to be an important spot. So he graded all the offensive linemen that were going to be free agents. And then Duke and I kind of cross-checked. So we ended up watching the top 10, 15 players at tackle, guard, center. We tried to shorten that list. You know, it's a big list that you get. We tried to shorten the list, compile the list for the coaches. These are the top guys that we think we should go after or talk to during free agency. And then from that, they take that list and maybe they disagree with you on some of those players. So that list starts to get a little bit shorter there. And then maybe you're left with, you know, five guards, a couple centers and a couple tackles that you really feel good about if you came out with them at the end of free agency. And really, you know, with our approach to the O-line, we wanted to get some young talent, young players that we're going to develop with Joe and grow with Joe. You wanted to get guys that had the right attitude, that were going to check every box, you know, being the leaders in that room and hold guys accountable, which is kind of the approach we've taken over the last couple off seasons here, and just bringing in the right guys that have the right mentality there. And so, yeah, that was kind of the approach that we hit with the O-line.
How did Frank's influence show up? And did that move guys up and down the board? I mean, he was pretty open about the type of guys he wanted. He was telling us the other day, you know, the thing is, it's a really good chance for me to have my kind. It was kind of his guys that had a little bit more of his stamp on it because he kind of came in and was working with what was here before. And that's great. But now with have a little bit more say. What was that? Where did you see his influence show up? And did that help move guys like Kappa and Karras and obviously Collins, the connection up the board for you guys?
I think Kappa and Karras were two guys that both the scouts and the coaches were high on. It wasn't there wasn't much disagreement on what we thought they were as players and people. So we felt really good about those two guys, and which is the reason why we went after them, you know, sent right away as soon as we could. And then Lyle coming free obviously was a little bit later in the process. Once we got word and knew that he may shake free, we started watching the tape. And then when we were able to talk to him, when he was released, obviously Frank had the relationship with him, spoke very highly of his character, what he's made out of, and that he would be the right person in our locker room. So we felt good going after him. And we were fortunate to come out of it with three quality offensive linemen.
I want to get back to Collins in a second. Brady unretires on Sunday night. Okay, and everybody in the league feels a reverberation off that. You guys, too, who have obviously there was pretty big name free agents on the interior of Tampa's offensive line. What is that moment like for you? And is that kind of a shakeup where you're like, all right, let's make sure we're ready in case to pivot off of this type of stuff? Did that impact you guys and surprise you?
Well, him coming out of retirement surprised me personally. I was shocked by it. You know, you'd think that, you know, most of the cast would want to go back and play with him. We were fortunate enough that Kappa wanted to come to Cincinnati, and we ended up with him. So we're excited about that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think with everything in free agency, it's always a pivot. You're always, you know, you're always having to move and move on to the next guy if things like that come up. But
was there a game or a play or a conversation you had just in doing background work on Kappa and Karras too, for both of them, that stood out and it helped sell you guys? Like you said, I mean, everyone was in agreement there. Was there kind of some stuff that stood out to you in the background process that really helped put them apart?
No specific play I scouted Kappa coming out of Humboldt and spent a lot of time with him throughout the process coming out, knew what he was made out of. Karras, I mean, you could just see, you know, the videos of him on the sideline and his interactions with players. And then, you know, reaching out to some guys that we feel comfortable that have been around him, and both of those guys, and they all raved about their personality. So there's not one thing or one play that stood out. You know, I think we knew what they were about.
We I mean, everybody knows the history of there not being major. I mean, this was almost double the amount of money that it has been ever been given to a guard by this organization. And that's partially where the league has gone. But it did, was there, do you think there was a barrier broken, or why do you think this year became most obvious that you guys organizationally were willing to go there with that position at this point?
I think it's just the quality of player that he is. And, you know, he's a proven player. He's young. Like I said, he checked every box of guy, the type of player we were looking for. And that's just what the guard market is right now. I mean, there's guys that went higher, or there's a lot of guys, players his age, and that have proven themselves as he has. They'd all got paid in that similar level. So, yeah, like I said, we knew we needed to fill some spots there. We were hoping at least two. We were shooting for three, and we ended up getting three. So
the Collins process, I mean, when do you catch rumblings or catch wind that something might, is that, I mean, I know you guys are always looking at situations like that during the season even. I mean, when did you kind of first start to think about that and even start to evaluate, you know, him as a player, watching tape and know him and stuff?
For me, it was when the report came out that they were interested in trading him.
Yeah.
Is when we started watching tape on him. And, you know, we start, you know, realizing he may end up getting cut if they're talking about a trade there. So you watch the tape. I watched some Potsy, watched some Duke, watched some, you know, you love what you see on him. So
how hard is that for you guys when you're in these meetings to talk through, okay, like a trade, like, because what are other teams going to trade, finding the market, figuring out if where, how, because you guys in retrospect now, I think most of us would look at it and say, man, it seems like you guys handled it perfectly. You didn't need to make a trade, didn't make a trade, waited, sat back, got the guy to come in and eventually land him still. How hard was that to maneuver that process?
It wasn't very hard on our end. I think we felt like he was going to end up shaking free, and we felt like we'd be able to hopefully go after him. And instead, it worked out for us. So it's just hard to give up draft picks.
Yeah. So you guys weren't really all that worried about other teams coming in and trying to trade for him then, huh?
Not essentially. There was a report that he was going to get cut, and then there was a later report that he was going to get traded. So, you know, it's you try to balance in between there, and I think we felt like we'd have a good shot at him if he were released.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've talked before about how much you like the visit, and guys come in and they get around some of the other guys, and that's what ended up happening with Collins. You had Karius and Kappa in, and Hurst all in here together. How much was that kind of a something that was really important for you guys to do too, obviously to get to know him a little bit better, but also for him to come in and get comfortable with them and Joe and everybody that way?
Yeah, I felt like it was a huge part of it. You know, I think the big thing with a lot of the free agents is just getting them in the building, getting them around our coaches, getting them around our players. And Joe obviously does a great job, and a lot of players want to play with him. So he makes it easy on that end. And, but yeah, I think players, when they come in here, they're excited. They feel the energy in the building. They feel the energy with the players. So it's nice when it works out that way.
Give me a synopsis of your report on Collins that when you went through him, about what stood out, about why he was so clearly a guy to target.
Tough, physical. Obviously, I mean, there's that clip of him going after the player that went after Dak. I mean, those are the type of players that we were trying to add in free agency. But yeah, I mean, really, his physicality shows out when you watch the tape. His anchor, his ability to get movement in the run game, his ability to pass block and move laterally. You know, we just saw him as a clear upgrade for us. So the film definitely jumps out when you watch it.
You mentioned this earlier, and it's I don't know. I think in free agency, a lot of people get enamored, and we see a lot of big money go to guys who are 30, who are 31, 32, whatever. You guys have obviously focused in recent years of guys in their 20s and not seeing many of these third contract types. How tough is it not to take the bait a little bit? And how much has that kind of become a real focused plan that you guys have utilized in free agency? Because it's an obvious trend you guys have had across three straight years now.
I think when this whole thing started a couple of years ago, we wanted a young team to kind of grow together. And, I think you've kind of seen it the last year, especially, and hopefully more this year, but I think it's important to have a core group of young players that all grow, all go through certain things together, wins, losses, they all learn together. And it's hard, I think it does get harder when you start filling the roster with Band-Aid type players. But there, I think it is also important to have some veteran leadership. We added, Mike Thomas last year, who was great in the locker room, who had been in some major games. Rico Allen, who was a little bit older, but was a huge presence in the locker room. So I think it's important to have a young roster, but you also have to have some older guys that have kind of been around and bring that leadership. So I think it's important to have a good mixture of those.
Yeah. Every year, free agency, people are always blown away by the money and the trend of the year. And the trend of this year, we've got all these trades and people are giving away picks, and it's sort of following the Rams and what they did. And there's just so much money being thrown at receivers, and it's like in the quarterback thing. Is this offseason, everyone's saying, this is maybe the craziest offseason we've ever seen. Do you view it that way? Is this kind of every day you're even blown away, someone who's in the middle of it, at what's happened over the last, whatever, talking about 2 weeks?
It is for me. I mean, I just before I got on the call with you, I read something as 30 something Pro Bowl players have been traded in the last year or a couple months. It's unbelievable how much movement there's been. It's obviously there's been a lot of movement. The AFC is going to be very competitive this year, and it'll be interesting to see how this stuff shakes out with the new quarterbacks being on different teams and see how good.
Hayden Hurst, we talked to him the other day, and I was kind of taken aback a little bit because I hadn't really, I guess, evaluated his story a little bit and about how, but he felt he was playing really well in Baltimore, and then Mark Andrews happens, and he had a really nice 2020 season, and then Kyle Pitts happens. Did you guys look at him as sort of the way he was talking about it, a little bit of an untapped resource that kind of just had some bad luck his first 4 years in the league?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was playing, playing with really good tight ends at both places. So obviously it's hard to get the ball to two tight ends. And we were fortunate enough to land him in free agency after losing CJ. And I do think he's going to be a good get in Jelbo with Burrow, especially for what we were looking for was, more of a move receiving type tight end. So he kind of hit us right at the right spot.
How is he different? I mean, CJ has so many great traits and was great here for a long time, but what does Hayden do that's different that maybe you guys felt like you could utilize?
They're different style of guys. He's got really good speed, quickness, can separate. He's got speed after the catch. He can take off and accelerate. Like I said, they're different style of guys. But I do think, I think Zach will do a good job of trying to get him the ball and be productive.
The defensive tackle market, you guys had two of the biggest names in there with Larry and BJ. You guys knew obviously they were great players and you knew there would be interest. Were you even surprised? I mean, that market seemed to really, really be good for both of those guys. Were you surprised at how much that market became in demand as free agency opened?
Yeah, tight ends and D tackles, I think, were probably the two spots that that ended up taking off, early in the first day or two. But I mean, both of those guys are great players. We would love to have both of them back. We're fortunate that we got BJ back, and it did surprise me with I think those two groups in particular, the tight ends and the D tackles this year. And really some of the corners always get paid, but
yeah,
there was some money thrown around with the corners this year.
Yeah. Apple, you know, Tupo, good on the list. It was sort of like, it felt like the line I've been using, it's run it back with a better offensive line. It's just, you guys, it seemed like you guys had a very clear focus of let's get as many of the guys back that kind of made this thing special last year to keep the momentum going and let as few of those out the door as we possibly can.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got, I think, 11 of our starters back on defense. And like you said, we revamped the O-line. So now we've got to – obviously, the draft's going to be very important for us and add some key players there. But see how that shakes out, too.
What, I mean, how, so what happens next for you? Where are you – so you immediately shift over to draft work here pretty much, right? I mean, is it just diving right in, or what's your next, you know, couple, what are the next couple weeks for you look for you guys logistically?
Logistically, we've, there's still some players that we'd like to bring back, Rav. So really just kind of working through the list of players that are out there right now. So this week will be mostly pro. I've started watching some of the, pro days and combine workouts just on specific players that I graded coming out. And then I'll kind of use the next few weeks to get up to speed with the college side and, you know, watch guys in, more in the Southeast and East Coast and Midwest that I haven't focused on as much this year. So really just trying to get familiar with some of those players in other areas.
Yeah. So your vacation comes immediately after the draft. Like, have you thought, all right, you have that baby planned already in there?
Whenever we have rookie camp, I will get out of here that next weekend and take my wife and kids somewhere nice.
Yeah. Well, you've got some time. You got some work to do.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
not done yet. It never, as everyone is realizing over these couple of weeks, there is no such thing as an off season, and especially for you guys. I know how busy you guys have been, and congratulations on a hectic, but very productive couple of weeks. I know you guys are pretty excited and taking some time to join me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Very thankful. Appreciate Steven sharing his time with us. He's a busy guy, has a ton of stuff going on, and to take a half hour to speak with us and shed some light onto this process. I think, you know, we just really appreciated that. Always great talking to him, as we do pretty regularly here as things happen from a roster standpoint. Always a great voice to hear.
You know, one thing that really struck me in that, and it was so much of the what that I've forgotten the who. I can't remember if he was talking about Kappa or Karis, but when he said that how impressed they were with his demeanor on the sideline and the way that he talked to his teammates, because these guys, when they evaluate players on film, they're looking at the all 22. They're not watching the game broadcast, and you don't get that kind of stuff on the all 22. That's extra work. That's watching extra stuff to kind of get that insight on a player, to see how he interacts with his teammates on the sidelines. Now, maybe they were advanced scouting a game and they saw that in person. I'm not sure, but it just shows you've written about this, about how they do more with less in that scouting department, and the fact that they are paying attention to all those little things outside of the X's and O's on the field. It just goes to show you why they've had such success these last few years and really bringing in the right pieces to help build this team.
With Karis, there was a great mic'd up segment on him, and that may be part of what he's referring to, where you get, there's a ton of stuff of him just being Mr. Energy out there, and lots of let's goes and pats on the back up and down the warm up line and stuff like that. That could be part of it, but you're right. I think that's really so much of what they have tried to focus on in hitting that. And I thought the fact that they weren't really concerned with Collins getting traded stuck out to me too. Didn't really think that was going to be something that's going to happen. And that's, like we said, it's understanding the market, understanding what is probably going to happen, and being able to be predictive with that. Maybe there really wasn't any interest at all. And obviously that ended up being the case, but to have read that properly is still a slick move, even though it seemed like, you know, talking to him, It was really just something that they knew for a fact that that wasn't going to be an issue. So, again, really good insight into their process and what has been a really busy few weeks, and one that it'd be hard. It's really hard to find a box they didn't check right now, at least that you didn't anticipate having to check. And, you know, we still will have talked a lot. That cornerback spot is sitting there. That defensive tackle rotational spot is sitting there. But those are all positions that are perfectly suited to address in the draft. And, you know, he said it, we have all 11 starters back on defense. So, you know, you feel pretty good about that when you now have an offense that looks absolutely stacked with the offensive line fixed up. So off they go into the next level of the draft. And we're really looking forward to bringing you all of the draft stuff. Next week, Jay, you will be in beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida, will you not?
I will. I leave bright and early Sunday morning for the NFL spring meeting. So that's where the competition committees will get together, or committee will get together to talk about new rule changes. Mike Brown is scheduled to speak one of his two times out of the year that he does talk to the media. And then the coaches' breakfasts, AFC on Monday, NFC on Tuesday. So looking forward to getting down there and seeing what's going on, getting some stuff that we don't typically get, because this is such a rare thing. And no owners meeting in 2020 because of COVID. And I don't believe Mike made the trip last year. It was in Arizona. And so this will be the first time in a while that he's spoken at a spring meeting.
Yeah, we haven't talked. Mike hasn't been done an owners meeting sit down for, I think, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So this will be a big one. And so we will have that for you next week as we kind of go forward in the owners meetings and then straight into our run of draft coverage. We've got a lot of fun things planned for you there. So keep it coming. Keep it coming on back. We will we'll happily have you in. Hope everybody enjoyed this episode and getting to hear from Lael Collins, Zach Taylor, and Bengals Director of Pro Scouting, Steve Radicevich. Thanks to all of them for spending some time talking into microphones for you. So thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good one.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.